Yeah, well, Robin, I want to introduce you to Robin. He did some stuff with VXLAN and EVPN in larger networks, I guess.
Yes, indeed.
Let's see, and well, the stage is yours.
Thank you. Okay, my name is Robin Dermann. I'm technically responsible for the data network at Ruhr Universität Bochum. It's a larger network with a smaller team. And because the size of the network was not enough, we and all the automation, we built a data center with more than 200 Nexus switches during the last months. And because of fun, we did it with VXLAN EVPN instead of the typical ACI stuff. And then there was the need for multi-chassis link aggregation, of course. And on Cisco gear, you do it with VPC because Cisco Nexus doesn't support EVPN multi-homing until now. VPC is the virtual port channel technology. It's multi-chassis link aggregation feature of Cisco. And traditionally, you need direct interconnects between the two switches that form a virtual port channel. And with VPC fabric peering, these direct links can be eliminated. And yes, Cisco shipped it first in 2019. So it's not new anymore. So it has some advantages. The first advantage is you don't need the direct links, and therefore you save the additional ports on the switches. And you save a lot of money, especially if you do it with 200 switches. You would need 200 cables. That saved us 50,000 euros. So the configuration is easy, as we can see later. And you can go a step further and do the VPC keep alive link that you need for failover scenarios, also over the fabric. But we didn't that. We didn't do that. So. Disadvantages, you can't use the VPC peer link, the port channel that forms the peer link can't be used as a backup uplink anymore. This doesn't matter because you have redundant uplinks anyway, but it's a disadvantage for some people, I guess. So you require quality of service. That's another thing you have to configure on the spine layer, because if you lose VPC traffic, you lose your VPC domain, and if it breaks, you don't want that. The only few platforms that are supported so far are the Nexus 9300, FX, FXP, FX2, FX3 series. These are the most popular ones by now, I think. And especially, it's not supported on the virtual image you can download by Cisco. So. Testing requires real hardware, and that was one of the reasons I thought about speaking about that thing, because I had to wait to get real hardware for testing it. If you know VPC, you know you may know how it works, the behavior changed a little bit with VXLAN EVPN, especially the behavior in regards to how traffic is transported to which port. First, you have an Anycast VTAP. It's an additional IP address on the loopback interface of every device. That is a secondary IP address, and it's the same on both VPC members, and it gets announced in EVPN, so that traffic to that is destined to a host on a port channel gets distributed evenly to both VPC members. For the opposite direction, for the opposite case, that you have a host that is not dual homed on both switches in a VPC domain, a so-called off-front host, you need a BGP feature that or a BGP command that is called advertise pip, primary IP, BIP is primary IP, so that not the Anycast IP gets advertised in conjunction with the MAC address of the hosts, but the Unicast IP of the correct switch where you attach that host. So otherwise, half of the traffic would be directed to switch one, and the other half would be directed to switch two. And then traditionally, it would traverse over the peer link to the correct switch and then out to the host. But we don't have the peer link, so the traffic has to go back through the fabric, through the spine switch, and then to the correct switch. And you don't want that, and therefore you have to configure advertise pip. You need quality of service on spines. I already said that. And for the sake of completeness, this is pretty much the example of the Cisco manual. But you shouldn't forget to configure quality of service on every port that connects to a VTAP on your spine layer, because VPC traffic will be tagged with DHCP, will be set DHCP 56. This is the default, but you can change it. And another thing you would have to do is you have to set some values to get the amount of TCAM space right. This is not fun if you forget it, because you have to reload the switch afterwards. And because of a configuration problem, I had to do it on about 50 or 60 switches during after the rollout with hosts already connected. So don't forget. But the rest of the configuration is easy. If you know VPC and if you have configured it once, you have only one line to configure. It's a virtual peer link with destination and source IP. These are the underlay loopback address of the VTAP. And you have to do it on both switches with reversed IP addresses, as you can see here. And the DHCP 56 at the end of the line is the default, but you can change it. And it doesn't hurt to write the default down here, and it will be visible in the config too, but you never know when they change the default, and you need it for quality of service. This is already pretty much the last slide. I don't know if you are able to read it, but it doesn't matter. It's everything that is specifically needed on a leaf switch for VPC peering to work. So the VPC domain with the peer link destination. Can I point on it from here? That interface port channel 500 is the virtual peer link. It's a port channel interface that exists on the switch, but it has no physical ports attached anymore. Then the VXLAN tunnel endpoint and loopback interfaces, and the last line is advertise pip, so that you can see it's configured under the address family in BGP. So that's it pretty much. As I already said in the beginning, Cisco doesn't support EVPN multi-homing. Yesterday evening I heard that the hardware would support it already, but the software doesn't. If I understand that correctly, I don't really know. Arista supports EVPN multi-homing. This is what I learned at the breakfast, and Juniper seems too, and Dell. I don't know about Dell. Does anyone use Dell switches in a data center? I don't know. And that's it. And the thing is, you can save money, and you can save cables, and you can save power, almost 40 or 50 watts, I think, when you don't use 200 cables. So thank you very much.
Yeah, well, test. Yes. Yeah, thank you, Robin. Well, I introduced you with EVPN and large networks, so the Uni Bochum is also a large network, I hope.
Yes.
And thank you for your presentation. Any questions for Robin? So I'll see at least one hand in the middle.
Regarding the supported platforms, the spines don't necessarily need to be FX or FX2 series, right?
No, the spines doesn't need to support it anyway.
Okay.
They just the traffic goes through the spines.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions so far? We have at least some from the internet chat. So.
The question is, a topology diagram would have been useful. Did I get it right that the VPC is between the Tor leaf switches and the only connected through the spine?
Yes, this is correct. Okay, topology diagram will follow later. Yeah, the VPC domain is between two leaf switches in the same, usually in the same rack only, yes. And they are connected via the links through the spines.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so that makes sense for me, at least because you said some features are needed in the spines because where you are in, or your endpoints are at the leaves. Well, any further questions? So far, not. So we close here, say thank you to Robin, and we will continue.